glad you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's January 14th, 2014. Wow, let's see, 011414. I don't know, is that magical or special for you today? Maybe it's your anniversary or birthday. But for me, it's an old-fashioned Testimony Tuesday. Dave, thanks for being available for this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's been a while since I've had a special guest on the line with me, and the practice from a few years back was testimonies on Testimony Tuesday, and so I'm excited to share you with our radio listening family. You currently serve as the senior pastor at the Upper Room Bible Church. You have a lovely wife named Renee, who I'm hoping you'll share some of that love story. You have a special event coming this Saturday, the 18th. The Moody Chorale is coming down from Chicago, and so I saw a news article the other day and thought, oh, I got to find out more about that concert because it'll be fabulous for our listeners to attend. And so I know I asked you to pick out a special verse, and there's nothing better than reading God's Word over the air. So how about sharing a special verse that's meaningful to you and then how God has used that in your life?
I would love to, Mark. It's a couple of verses, actually. It'd be in Philippians chapter 2, and it's 14 through part of 16 that I really just hold on to. It says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." And I just love that verse because, to me, the picture is of believers. And you know, Christ said, "I'm the light of the world." And then he went on later, told his disciples, "You're the light of the world," because we are to reflect the light of Christ. And I love the idea of us shining like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life, that is God's word.
Hey, read that again, a little slower. I want to kind of take it in because there's a couple words that popped out. But maybe for our listeners, you know how you're driving, you're getting into your car, you're opening up the refrigerator door and you catch only a part of it. But now in light of knowing why it's special to you, let's absorb that word again. And maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to some of our own hearts, bringing either conviction or insight or, you know, how he can take his word. It's living and active. And I believe he'll breathe some kind of new life into somebody's mind and heart, even now as you read it again.
Certainly. Again, it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and on. It goes, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life."
The word of life. That's something that you're preaching nowadays. You used to be a youth pastor. I think many in our radio listening family maybe have heard your name or heard you referenced because you were on a trip to Israel with me, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago. And you have that unusual kind of last name. It's Hohulin, right?
That is correct. The easiest way to remember it is it rhymes with no fooling. So no fooling, Hohulin, and you've got it.
And you served for a number of years as a youth pastor at the Gibson City Bible Church, and we appreciate so many of the saints there. But you had a special calling on your life recently, and now you're the senior pastor at the Upper Room Bible Church in Paxton. And so before you share that transitional story of how God has taken you from Gibson City to Paxton now, serving as a youth pastor to being a senior pastor, give us a little more of the background of your life, your faith journey, because a couple of words that stuck out to me in that passage that you read out of Philippians, that complaining or arguing, and really without the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we're always going to be complaining and arguing and fighting and being disruptive. And I think because of your walk with Jesus, those are some things that have been minimized in your life because of following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I certainly hope so. I don't want to pretend that I'm not human and not fallen, but fortunately I'm saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And his Holy Spirit in us is the one that strengthens us to do all things. And I think that includes walking godly in Christ Jesus. And so, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were missionaries in the Philippine Islands. They were translators with Wycliffe Bible Translators. So So I grew up out in a tribe, in a hut. I spent years in a boarding school. I got to see the Philippines and the U.S. and many other countries. But through it all, observing my parents and them sharing the gospel with us at a very young age, I came to know Christ as just a young child and was able to grow in my faith through the Word and through the example of godly people around me as well.
I think it was last year, or I can't remember exactly, within the last 2 years, we had your folks on and some of the stories of their missionary work and their adventures. But sometimes growing up in a godly Christian home like that or being on the mission field, there can be resentment or anger because of the parents maybe serving everyone else and children feeling neglected. I think when we had Steve Green on, that was sometimes how he felt. He was in a boarding school and he was kind of the foreigner, the outcast, the only blonde-headed child in this boarding school when everyone else was, either light brown or a different color and being in a different culture. He had a hard time processing that. Now, I know your parents are godly people, but were there some struggles or did you connect with Christ at an early age and just say, Lord, I'm going to surrender and follow you henceforth?
There never were. I have friends that kind of crashed and burned, and my brothers and I didn't. And I'm not sure, I couldn't put a finger on why. I know with my parents, we always felt like we were part of the team, that part of our role was giving up time with my parents so that they could share God's word with others. And we never felt neglected or put aside by my parents. We were always their first ministry, I felt. And also the Lord gave us tremendous storm parents that were godly people that really filled in as parental role models. And, we lived on a base that was a boys' paradise. And I think growing up, us four boys viewed it as a privilege that we got to be missionaries. I remember feeling sorry for people that didn't get to travel overseas and live in huts in the jungle and ride the rivers and, climb trees and do all the crazy things that we did there in the jungle. So, I don't know that I can put a finger on why, but no, I never experienced, and my brothers didn't either, that kind of frustration with being an MK.
Now, what was the point of conversion where you could kind of look back and say, yes, my father and mother modeled Christ to me? Was it at a church service? Was there a special speaker that came in? Was there a youth pastor that led you into that accepting Jesus as your Savior?
Amazingly, it was a babysitter. And what might be hard to believe, this babysitter actually did flannel graph stories for us boys. She did a story once of heaven and hell, and the next day I cornered my mom. She was ironing, and I remember this clearly, and that's about all I remember from that age because I was three. But I began to ask her questions, and she explained heaven and hell. And I said, well, I'm going to heaven. And she said, no, you're not. And I said, well, why not? And she basically laid out the plan of salvation. And she was really a little uneasy because felt that perhaps I was too young to truly understand. But I got it. I got the basics right there. And I right in front of her, just started praying and put my trust in Christ. And I don't think my parents knew quite what to think of it, but I remember it very clearly. And I know that at that moment, I became a member of God's kingdom.
And that's around the age of three?
I was 3 years old, yeah.
Wow. And I laugh, and I wish Pastor Jason Schiffo, my co-host on Wednesday and Friday, was here in the studio, because he'll reference back many times to the flannograph and just kind of laugh at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's so archaic and isn't used anymore. We have all the high tech and everything. And yet, gosh, thank you, God, for that babysitter and using that, which was used oftentimes during, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, this would have been in the 50s, so it's been a while.
Well, then, at what point did you feel led to serve the Lord in ministry versus just taking, a trade or going to college?
I graduated from high school, and I intentionally decided I wanted to go to Moody, so I went to Parkland for a couple of years and then on to Moody. And I majored in theology, and I suppose at that point I thought that I would come out and go into full-time service, but for some reason my senior year I felt directed elsewhere, and I graduated and I actually went into the business world and worked in the business world for the next 20-plus years in different management roles. But during that time we worked really extensively with youth in whatever church we were in, and in other churches as well, because I'd often work at our church and another church at the same time with youth and youth programs and doing some preaching on the side, that kind of thing. Then we were in Texas. We'd moved to Austin, Texas, because before I married my wife, I told her I loved heat. I loved the tropics. And I said, I can't handle the cold here. So if you marry me, we got to go somewhere warm. So we moved a week after we were married, which, you know, as a young husband, I don't think I realized what a commitment that was for my wife to leave everything she knew here, including her family, and go with me to Texas. She likes to tell people I cried all the way to Texas, and 22 years later, I cried all the way back. So we moved to Texas, ended up in Austin, and made a life for ourselves there. And about 10 years ago, my wife's father developed Alzheimer's very badly. Her mom just felt like she needed some help, and we felt like the Lord was directing. And so we packed up, and I quit my job, and we sold our house, and we moved up here and spent a year and a half living with them and helping with her dad until he passed away. And then a year later, her mom passed away. So the Lord brought us back for a really precious time with her parents, and it was wonderful. It was difficult, very difficult, but it was a wonderful time that we had. And I guess the Lord brought us back to cold country, which shows he has a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's one of the things I always exhort or say to people. Remember, now, if you pray, Lord, take me anywhere but this way, or have me serve in any kind of capacity but this, know that there's a good chance you're going to end up where you might not want to be. And so, now I know there's an interesting story to that first date with Renee. Now, where did you meet and what went on some years back?
Well, I'd known her in high school. She went to Fisher and I went to Gibson. We came home from my senior year of high school from the Philippines, and I noticed a cute redhead with chocolate brown eyes right away, but I was pretty shy and, you know, didn't pursue it any, and I went in on into college and to Moody, and I'd see her periodically and always took a note of the fact that she was around, but didn't do anything about it. And then I moved back to Gibson area after I graduated from Moody and started a singles group. And she showed up at the singles group, and I thought, oh, wow,
now,
I really like her. But
how old are you at this time?
I'd probably be about 23, right in that range. And, you know, I really was interested in her, but felt like I was the leader of a singles group. And, you know, how do you work that out?
Yeah.
So I kept my eye on her for about a year and finally decided, you know, I needed to take her out. So I asked her to go out just for a cup of hot chocolate one night after church. And it was cold out, and we went to Dairy Queen, and they were selling hot chocolate, and we got it through the drive-through window, and I handed her hers, and I took mine, and I no sooner got it than it shot up out of my hands and flipped and spun and sprayed me completely with hot chocolate, and it wasn't 20 seconds later that she flipped hers over and spilled it all over herself, and I knew right then that she was the one for me. That was it.
Oh, that's classic. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And how much longer after that did you kind of
We started dating right away, and we were married about 8 months later.
Okay. So, and now you've been married how many years?
32 years this year.
32 years. Well, congratulations.
Yep.
And
thank you.
She's been a great support of your ministry work.
She is. She's the anchor to everything. You know, she's quiet, and a lot of times people don't realize how instrumental she is to everything that happens that I have any input in. She's just kind of the rock that's there and loves and supports and prays for and encourages and has been a phenomenal mother to our children. You know, I can't say enough about her. She does it all, and she does it all extremely well.
And how many children? I know one of your daughters somewhat because I eat at the Texas Roadhouse for a long time, and I thought, oh, here's a cute waitress. And I had some friends that had a younger son, and I thought, oh, they would make a good couple. And finally, I kind of weaved around to say, hey, you dating anyone? And she says, yeah, I'm engaged to get married. Now, she's been married, what, about a year or so?
Yeah, she got married last July.
Yeah, I was thinking of trying to set her up with a friend's son, and that which she said she was married in. Now I think she works at the Fisher Bank.
In Mahomet, the Mahomet branch of it. She's working there.
I keep an eye out for you on her, making sure she's running the straight and narrow, but that's good
to
hear.
Good.
Did you marry her?
I did. I didn't want to do it all. I wanted to make sure I could make it through the service. So Eric Heiser is her husband, and his pastor did the sermon. I did the vows and the ring ceremony, and that was tough.
Yeah. Now, how many children again?
I have a son who's 25, and then, of course, Rachel, the one you're talking about, who is, I think she'll be 23 now this month, and then my daughter Gabby, who's 19.
Oh, and God's been orchestrating your life. And you made an interesting comment, because when you left Moody, the Moody Bible Institute, trained to go into ministry work, whether it's like a pastorate or serving the youth or being a part of a church, but you felt like God had a different calling, and yet that calling, being in the business world, can be as equally effective as the pastor preaching on a Sunday morning. And many times our listeners, they might elevate the pastor, the missionary, and certainly God has a unique and special calling on their lives. But doesn't he call all of us to be engaged, to be testimonies, to be witnessing where we're at?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that we sometimes make a mistake when we view it as a professional class versus a lay group of people in terms of Christianity. I had a missionary ask me once, they say, are you in full-time service? And I said, yes, I am. And I said, I'm not, you know, a paid missionary or pastor, but I'm in full-time service to the Lord, so I'm much like you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, I meant like, are you, you know, serving and paid to do it? And I said, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So too often we make distinctions there, and we need to understand that the body of Christ, the work of the body of Christ, is the work of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. In case you just tuned in, I have Dave Hohulin on the phone with me. He's the senior pastor at the Upper Room Bible Church, and they're going to have a special event open to all of our Great News Radio listeners this Saturday night as the Moody Chorale comes down. And Dave, thanks for being available on this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And I know, I guess a couple years ago, the Lord started working in your life where you were just being opened or entertaining other ways that he might work and use you or use your gifts and your life experiences. And I think you were approaching the Gibson City ministry team. Is that right?
Yeah. I'd been a youth pastor for about 6 years at that point in time, and I'd been working with youth for about 30-some years, and I guess I thought I always would. I thought that, you know, until the day I died, I'd work with youth because I just love high schoolers. But I just felt like it was time to move beyond, time to do something different and perhaps look for a pastoral role as far as senior pastor, and began to pray about it. And I shared that with the leadership at the Gibson City Bible Church probably a year and a half to 2 years ago. Then the Lord, just through a series of events that were interesting, opened up this opportunity here at Upper Room. So I ended up here.
Well, help our listeners or help us understand, what's that process like? You're praying, Lord, I'm open, you know, use me, utilize me. What were some of maybe those confirmations, or what are some of the benchmarks or points where you just felt affirmed, or he was leading, or you knew this was the right direction?
You know, it's hard to put a finger on exactly why I began to feel that it was time for me to look, but as I did and began to pray about it, I hadn't even put out resumes yet. I told them in about a year I was going to start putting out resumes. And Kevin Heiser, who was the senior pastor here at Upper Room, approached me, and he was my roommate for 1 year, our first year at Moody, before he graduated and moved on to Taylor. But he began to talk to me about being a senior pastor at the Upper Room Bible Church, and my first response was to think, no, I'm not supposed to go there. And so I pretty much told him no. He was pretty persistent. Mm. He kept coming back and saying, you know, I really think you need to think about this. And finally, he just asked me, he said, Dave, would you and your wife pray about this for one weekend? Would you both just pray about it? And I said, sure, we can do that. So I went home and told my wife, and she was kind of the same way I was. We're not quite ready. We don't think this is the place. We're not ready to go to Paxton. We just thought it wasn't what we were supposed to do. But we agreed we'd just pray. And as the weekend progressed, I began to feel that the Lord was calling us here. I began to feel more that this is where we were supposed to come, which made me a little uncomfortable because my wife is very conservative and doesn't take change easily. She's been a trooper when we have made change, but she likes to take things slow. And then I thought, oh, great, you know, here now I'm feeling like we're supposed to go, and you know, she's not going to be thrilled about this. And you know, somewhere before the end of the weekend, she came and she said, you know, I've been praying about this, and I'm starting to get excited about the thought of us going there. And I thought, what?
Wow.
And
there is a God.
It's like the Lord just confirmed, you know, that this was what we were supposed to pursue. And so I called him back up and said, okay. And he was like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, I think that this is where the Lord's calling us, and this is where we're supposed to be.
Now, you've been serving there since August, and you have a special event this Saturday night, January 18th at 6 p.m., but you're holding it at the East Lawn School, 341 East Center Street. Tell us about it in our closing minute or two.
Okay. Well, we have Moody Corral coming down, and we wanted them at a place where we could handle a larger size crowd. We can only hold about 160 here, but they can hold over 500 there. So we have plenty of room. We just wanted to do it as a ministry in the community and to the surrounding area, and we just hope people will come and hear. They do. Moody Corral is tremendous. They do a terrific job of not just singing the great songs of old and newer stuff, but also they do a great job of sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're looking forward to a time of fellowship with believers of all churches coming to share together.
Well, I'm looking forward. I hope I can make it out. It's this Saturday night, 6 p.m., East Lawn School, 341 East Center Street in Paxton, Illinois. It's a free concert, but I'm sure there will be a love offering, right?
There is a love offering, and it'll all go to Moody Corral. And so even if anyone were to make out checks, that's how they want to make them out.
Okay, that's this Saturday night, January 18th in Paxton. The Moody Corral's coming down to visit. Well, Dave, God's very best to you on your ministry work there at the Upper Room Bible Church in Paxton. It's great getting to know you and see how God's been working through your life these many years. And who knows, maybe we'll get you on another trip to Israel, have a little reunion with all the guys from about 7 or 8 years ago.
I'll tell you, that was a memorable trip for me. It was one of the best trips of my life. I loved it.
Well, thank you, Dave, for being available for this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And thank you, listener, for being a part of whatever God's doing in your life, because he's active. He uses his word to bring about change and direction and leading. He uses other fellow believers to help guide and steer and counsel and direct us. And I pray today, as you listen to our broadcast, or maybe you hear David's story, that you don't necessarily have to be in the pastorate or serving as a missionary to be effectively used of God. He can use us all wherever we're at, as we're transparent and open and available to him. So let him lead you today. And if you're married, get that confirmation with your wife so that you both are on the same page and you can be led into new areas of ministry work. So thank you, Dave, for being available. We'll be in touch. I'll probably see you
all right, Mark.
Saturday night.
That sounds good.
Okay,
bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
We'll close out our program with a portion of a song by the Moody Corral titled Alleluia. And the Corral will be in Paxton this Saturday night, January 19th at the East Lawn School. If you need more information, you can call the Upper Room Bible Church at 217-379-4189, 217-379-4189. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.